Hi friends, welcome to the Living Life Podcast, where we study God's Word for a life that is deeply rooted in God's love. If this is your first visit, I'm so happy you are here, and I pray that this podcast will be a blessing to you. Do you feel persecuted? Does it seem as if everyone is out to get you? People are misrepresenting you, speaking badly about you, and even sometimes actively try to sabotage you? If this is you, then stick around for today's episode of the Living Life Podcast, where we will learn to flip the script on persecution. We've been studying Christ's secrets for real happiness from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. Last week, we dealt with the fourth principle for a blessed, happy life. Be a peacemaker. If you missed that episode, you can find it on the Living Life Facebook or Instagram pages. Today's principle for a blessed, happy life is flip the script on persecution. Please find the Bible study work pages at my website at samanthashambo.com to continue the study by yourself or in a small group. Matthew 5 verse 10 to 12 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for this is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I had a nickname when I was in high school. It was Church Sister. My classmates called me Church Sister because I was always attending church and sharing my experiences with everyone. You know, I was not allowed to attend parties, and I did not do the things that my friends did, like smoking or drinking. I also started a youth prayer group in our school during break times, and so that didn't help with the name calling. My faith also made me the target of unique discipline. I remember once in grade 11, my grades were weak, and my teacher rebuked me, and she said, "You are always talking about Jesus, but you are disgracing the name of Jesus with your laziness." Wow. That just left me feeling guilty because the last thing I wanted to do was to shame Jesus. But now when I look back, I can say I did well. You know, I didn't compromise. But back then, I felt like I was singled out and rejected. It made me feel lonely and I always felt like the odd one out. I did have close friends, but my differences always made me feel a bit isolated. So persecution might be a strong word for what I went through in high school, because I know there are believers all around the world who really understand what it means to be persecuted for their faith. Those who have been threatened physically and who face excommunication by family and friends because they confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I'm not sure where you would place yourself on the spectrum of persecution, but I pray that today's episode will be an encouragement to you, wherever you may find yourself. Let me remind you of the scene in Matthew chapter 5 to 7. Jesus had been traveling throughout Galilee, preaching, teaching, and doing miracles. Great crowds started to follow him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and even beyond the Jordan. They followed Jesus because they were awed by his authority and his demonstration of power. They imagined that Jesus would provide miraculously for them so they can have better lives. So when Jesus saw the crowds, he sat down to teach them, and the disciples also came close to listen. Jesus then proceeded to teach them this astounding truth of the kingdom. Blessing in the kingdom is not the result of status and power, but of poverty, mourning, weakness, and surrender. These three verses on persecution must have been very shocking to Matthew's original listeners. Matthew's gospel was written primarily to Jewish Christians who were living in Syria, possibly Antioch, in the late first century. They were experiencing real pressure for following Jesus. And Matthew's word would have spoken directly into their pain. These people would have suffered rejection from their own Jewish communities and expulsion from their synagogues. In their honor-shame culture, following Jesus would have brought ridicule and dishonor. Even though systematic Roman persecution wasn't yet constant, we do read in the book of Acts about believers being beaten, imprisoned, and even killed. So like us, the original learners would have thought, is Jesus serious? How can we rejoice in persecution? It makes no sense. But Matthew was reminding his listeners of Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount to help them turn the tables on their persecution. To help them see that what the devil means for evil, God will use it for their favor. But for this to happen, they must be willing to entertain the possibility that there's a hidden blessing in persecution. To make sense of Jesus' words on persecution, we will answer four questions. Who is persecuted? Why are they being persecuted? What is the blessing in persecution? And how can we flip the script on persecution? First, who is being persecuted? According to Matthew, it is the righteous, those who have chosen to give up everything to follow Jesus. It was the disciples, even though they were part of the crowds, they were different because they chose to accept the call and to follow more closely. And they were about to find out that following Jesus is not a bed of roses. According to Bonhoeffer, the disciples were called blessed because they obeyed Jesus' call, which included deprivation and renunciation. Although these negative realities are not inherently blessed, the real blessing lies in the call and the promise they receive from Jesus. We are righteous like the disciples because we have chosen to step forward out of the crowds and to accept the call of Jesus and to pay the price that goes with it. Beloved, if you have decided to say yes to Jesus, then unfortunately you are a candidate for persecution. And this shouldn't surprise us because Jesus himself said in Luke 15 verses 18 to 20, if the world hates you, be aware it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. Because you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, slaves are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep your words also. It is clear from the scripture that persecution is part and parcel of being a follower of Jesus. And the closer you choose to follow, the more alien you will seem to the world, and the chances of persecution will increase. We even find persecution in the church. Some believers ridicule other believers because they embrace the kingdom values wholeheartedly. In the process, their lives are a critique of believers who are more comfortable living by the values of the world. Matthew 7 verse 13 to 14 says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and few find it. My son asked me the other day, Mom, why is it that so many people who profess to be Christians don't live any differently from unbelievers? This was a difficult question, but the Holy Spirit reminded me of the narrow gate. So I responded by saying it is tough to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, and very few people are willing to sacrifice like that. Jesus' teaching about the narrow gate reminds us that the path of following him is neither easy nor popular. The narrow road is a call to radical obedience, to live by kingdom values, even when the world rejects us. Walking this path will bring us into conflict with the cultural currents around us, and sometimes even those in the church. Those who are persecuted are the people who said yes to Jesus, who live a righteous life, and who proudly bear the name of Jesus, even when it offends the world. But why are they being persecuted? Fear is one of the most potent drivers for persecution, both historically and today. Fear distorts perception, fuels hostility, and often justifies extreme action against groups that feel dangerous. Early Christians were persecuted by Romans because they refused to worship the emperor, and this was seen as a political rebellion. There's also this fear of cultural change. When Christians challenge immorality, idolatry, injustice, society begins to feel threatened. Believers may be hated when they oppose cultural norms about money, sex, and power. There's also the fear of exposure. Darkness hates light. And so when Christians live with integrity, it exposes corruption, hypocrisy, and injustice, and this provokes resentment. Like John the Baptist was executed for rebuking Herod. Sometimes Christians are seen as unpatriotic because they don't support the values of the world. And we have an example of that in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's image. In the church, we have the fear of losing religious authority. Religious leaders may attack reformers, as Jesus was persecuted and attacked by the Pharisees. In church history, reformers like Luther, Huss, and Tyndale were persecuted by church authorities. And so there's this fear of doctrinal impurity. New movements of the Spirit can provoke fear of heresy and disorder. And sometimes persecution arises not because of false teaching, but because God is doing something new and unexpected. Early Jewish believers were opposed by their own people for preaching the Messiah. There's also fear of losing respectability. Churches may resist voices calling them to radical obedience because it feels too costly, too disruptive, and too messy. Jesus knew this, which is why he told his disciples, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body." This is in Matthew 10, verse 28. So believers are persecuted because they are righteous. After all, they chose to live justly and humbly before God, because they live by the Spirit and not by the rules of the world. According to John Wesley, in his 23rd sermon, believers are persecuted precisely because they are different, because they are poor in spirit, which the world calls weak and spineless. But most of all, they are persecuted because they are peacemakers, because they take every opportunity to do good and bring reconciliation. This has been the world's response in every age and will continue to be until the end. The more God's kingdom advances, the more peacemakers spread humility, meekness, and God's character, the more they are seen as dangerous troublemakers, and the more fiercely the world rises up to persecute them. I am amazed that John Wesley said this almost 300 years ago, and it is still true today. Let's take note of the reasons for persecution. It is for Jesus' sake. Sometimes we suffer persecution for the wrong reasons. And so we must make the distinction. Not all suffering that Christians face is for righteousness' sake. The Bible and church history make it clear that some persecution comes because of poor attitudes, wrong actions, and even sin. Sometimes we suffer persecution for being perceived as offensive. We face hostility because we are perceived as rude, harsh, or arrogant in how we share the truth. This is not persecution for righteousness' sake. It is a reaction to unkindness. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 to 16 reminds us to share our hope with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience. Other times you might face persecution for doing wrong or breaking the law. If I am punished for lying, stealing, cheating, or breaking laws, that's not persecution, it's justice. 1 Peter 4 verse 15 says, "If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other criminal or even as a meddler." Some of us suffer persecution for using the gospel to manipulate and to control. Suppose we use religion to gain power, money, and influence and are opposed because of it. In that case, this is not suffering for Christ. Sometimes we are persecuted for clinging to personal preferences and traditions or politics and equating those things with God's truth. The persecution Jesus is talking about is about reflecting Christ and living out his kingdom values. It is suffering because of obedience to God's direction for our lives and refusal to let the world dictate how we show up in the world. What is the blessing in persecution? According to Matthew, we are blessed, happy, and fortunate when we are persecuted and reviled. So what does that mean? First of all, persecution will deepen our union with Christ. Philippians 3 verse 10 says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Persecution is not wasted pain, but it's a way to share in Christ's suffering, and it draws us into deeper intimacy with Jesus. It becomes fellowship with Jesus that few others can experience. Persecution displays Christ's power in our weakness. It's not a sign of failure. It is the stage for God's strength to be revealed. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 to 10 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Persecution forces us to depend on grace and to depend on God's sustaining power. It also advances the gospel. Philippians 1 verse 12 to 14 says, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And because of my chains, most brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Paul saw his imprisonment not as a setback, but as a means of spreading the message. Persecution becomes a megaphone, amplifying the gospel and emboldening others to follow Christ. So it also produces an eternal reward. We are reminded in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17, for light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Our suffering now will be far outweighed by glory later. So persecution is an investment with eternal returns. Every tear and scar is a testimony of God's faithfulness. It strengthens our character, so suffering can be God's tool for shaping mature and hopeful believers. Romans 5 verse 3 to 5 says, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Persecution is like spiritual weight training. It builds endurance, deepens faith, and fills us with a hope that does not disappoint. It creates platforms to proclaim Christ and his love to a dying world. So how do we flip the script on persecution? First, we must reframe the experience. Instead of seeing persecution as a curse, we can see it as confirmation of faithfulness. We shift from asking why me to what is God doing through this? This turns pain into purpose and suffering into spiritual growth. We respond with joy, not bitterness. Joyful endurance is one of the most countercultural ways to respond to hostility. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles were arrested for preaching about Jesus. And an angel came and freed them and commanded them to continue to teach. And when brought before the Sanhedrin, they boldly declared, we must obey God rather than men, proclaiming Jesus' resurrection and lordship. Though the leaders were furious and had them flogged, the apostles left the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Rather than being silent, their joy fueled the gospel to spread further and bring many more to faith. They left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering this grace for the name of Christ. Choosing joy confuses the enemy and strengthens others who are watching your faith under fire. The next thing we must do, we must love the persecutor. Returning hate with love dismantles the power dynamic in persecution. Show kindness, pray for your persecutor's good, and refuse to let bitterness take root. This transforms persecution into an opportunity for redemptive witness. Like Jesus on the cross, pray, forgive them, Father, because they don't know what they are doing. Turn opposition into a testimony. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, persecution gives believers a platform to tell the story of God's grace. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to provide the reason for the hope that you have. Share the gospel clearly and gently when asked why you endure with peace. This turns the moment into a missionary moment. Persecution often isolates, but as believers, we can use this as an opportunity for fellowship. Share your experience with other believers so they can pray, encourage, and grow bolder in their own witness. Keep an eternal perspective. Remember that persecution is temporary, but the reward is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17 says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Fix your eyes on the kingdom, not on the conflict. Flipping the script on persecution doesn't mean pretending persecution doesn't hurt. It means refusing to let it define you as a victim. Instead, let it refine you as a witness, turning hostility into a living sermon of grace and courage and hope. So this brings us to the end of this episode. What resonated with you in this episode? What questions were raised in your heart? Please leave your questions in comments on my website at samanthashambo.com or on our social media pages at Living Love Podcast. I would love to hear from you. Next week, we will discuss the sixth principle for a blessed, happy life from the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for joining me today. Remember, no matter your story, in Christ you are deeply known, fully loved, and you have a divine purpose. Until next time, keep loving loved.